Hello, everyone. I'm Laura Cornell of DivineFeminineYoga.com, and today I'm delighted to be here with Sue Dumay, who is a fertility yoga specialist and has been a yoga teacher for many years and a fitness instructor for many years. She offers teacher training both for fitness instructors, pre- and postnatal, and fertility, and for fertility yoga teacher training, which is virtual. It's offered on the web. So this is kind of an interesting interview where we're going to get to talk about the evolution of her journey as a teacher, how she got interested in this niche, how she came to specialize in fertility. And I know she's also owned a studio, so we're going to get to talk about that. And she's gone through a lot of different evolution in her teaching. I think it will be a very interesting interview. So also when I'm looking on her website here, which is familypassages.ca, she's done a lot of wonderful things. She has a handbook on fertility, and she participates in a lot of organizations for fertility. So she's very active with the Infertility Awareness Association of Canada. She's published in Creating Families magazine. So she's just very active in the community. And Sue, I want to welcome you to our Yoga Teacher Success interviews.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah, thank you for being with us today. And I think where I'd like to start is how you developed this niche, because I believe you were the first one to be offering such an in-depth look at infertility and yoga. And how did you get started with that?
Just to clarify, I was the first in Canada to start teaching fertility yoga. And right around the time, actually, my journey all began with my own fertility experience. And in 2001, I found myself pregnant. I wasn't planning a pregnancy, but quickly embraced the idea of becoming a mother. I always knew I wanted to be a mom. I just didn't know I was so ready for it until it arrived. And I was so excited. My whole life changed in that moment. And for the first 12 weeks, I was really celebrating the idea of becoming a mom. And at 12 weeks along, I miscarried. And at that point, it really surprised me. I didn't see it coming. It was kind of a bit of a shock. It wasn't something that I thought would even be possible. And it took me quite a few weeks to overcome that trauma. And for me, it really was a physical trauma as well as an emotional trauma. Once I kind of pulled myself out of the isolation and the healing,
Were you a yoga teacher at that time when you lost that first
pregnancy? I was. I was teaching yoga, yes. I was actually teaching, I was teaching kickboxing, believe it or not. And yeah. I started teaching power yoga. I went from kickboxing to power yoga because my body really needed some support more in the way of stretching and lengthening the muscles. And you can imagine with boxing, you're very hunched over. And I actually became shorter when I was boxed. And
wow.
When I went back to teaching yoga, I actually got taller again. So at the time, I was teaching more of a power yoga and a flow yoga class. And my efforts went straight to, okay, I want to get pregnant again. I was so determined to feel that energy of the baby again. And I was so, it was so clear to me that I wanted to. And when I was pregnant for that short time, I just felt this warm energy in the lower belly. And it's been an area for me that I really felt a void most of my life, like an emptiness almost, like something was missing. So I thought, okay, this is it. I'm meant to be a mom. That void, and I'm so desperate to get it back. So I turned all my efforts to becoming pregnant. And I figured, you know, I got pregnant without trying for. Now that I'm trying, it should happen right away. And when it didn't, it was very challenging for me. And I started to see this, witness this emotional roller coaster with my cycle. And at the beginning of my cycle, when I menstruated, I felt this heaviness, this loss again, this sadness, this grief. And then as, you know, I approached ovulation, I would get excited in anticipation. And then the second, you know, 2 weeks after that, I'm kind of, you know, cautiously optimistic. Maybe I am pregnant. I was looking for signs. It was a very interesting time for me. And I got really pulled into this down spiral, a lot of stress and anxiety related to it. And it just became all-consuming for me. I turned to my yoga practice to try and reduce some stress and anxiety again, and I really started not only teaching, I was still teaching my yoga, but I started to do more of my home practice a little bit more and turned to more of a personal practice. After 2 years, I conceived my son, and when my son was born, I felt that emptiness again inside, and I'm like, what's missing? I thought that motherhood would fill that void, and it didn't.
Wow.
And a year later, we decided we would have another child, and we opened up our minds and bodies and hearts for another child. And again, this time I was like, I have all these new tools, I know what I'm doing, and I'm not going to let it get to me. And immediately, the moment we went from lovemaking to babymaking, everything shifted again for me. And I'm like, okay, there's got to be a different way. There has to be a different way. I was really pulled to my yoga practice, and I knew that yoga has helped me so much in my life personally. And I thought, okay, there's got to be something here for yoga. There's yoga for runners. There's, you know, yoga for other people in specific areas. Why not yoga for fertility? So I started to look around for some classes, and I didn't find any in Canada. There was nothing in Canada. There was only two places in the States. And I thought, okay, if it's going to be, it's up to me. So I discovered, you know, I wrote down and did all my research on what fertility poses would help and which ones to avoid during different parts of your cycle. And I did all the research, and I put it on my desk, and I had it all written. It was great. And my intention was to start my own home practice. And it sat on my desk, and it sat on my desk, and it sat on my desk. And when I started to really look at it, a friend of mine asked me, you know, how's your fertility journey going? And I just started crying. And I was just like, oh, I just can't even face all the emotions on my own. It's so challenging. I was reading Wayne Dyer's book, Inspiration. And he was talking about, you know, doing what makes your heart sing and makes your soul dance. And I just started to look at that and like, well, my yoga does that. Teaching yoga, I love that. How can I marry the two, my desire to have a child and the yoga? And the one way I can actually start teaching yoga for fertility, the main reason I actually started teaching that class and I started that class was because I had to show up. I was the teacher.
Wow.
I had no choice. I couldn't open my emotions. I needed to be there for the other women.
Was that how you got
that's
your
how
own
it all began.
Fertility practice going, was teaching it to others?
Yes, exactly. So the first class I did a six-week session of registration, and all of these women showed up. They, out of nowhere, I thought I was the only one going crazy and thinking I was just consumed by this, you know, desire, this deep desire to get pregnant. And there was all these women who were going through similar circumstances, and it was so healing for all of us in that room that I just, everything inside of me said, I need to keep doing this, not for me, but for all these women that are showing up. There was a real need for it.
So Sue,
within a month of that,
I want to pause you for a minute. Because your story,
yeah, I know, I could go on.
So, yeah. I'm going to pause you every once in a while. Your story is so gripping. It's so absorbing. I'm almost forgetting that we're doing an interview here. This is so, you're such a wonderful storyteller. Let me just say that first. It's very engaging, and I could see why people would want to sign up with you. And if we could just back up a little bit. So if this was the first time you did this and you were surprised, you didn't know these women, where did you put out the invitation? Was it just to your regular studio list, your regular teaching list, or did you do some extra outreach in a new way?
Well, I created these posters, and I put them into eight and a half by 11 regular size. I put them in a quarter page, so I cut that page into quarters and put out little poster flyers. And I gave them to an acupuncturist. No, I went to an acupuncturist that was local that had helped me with conceive my son. So through the yoga and the acupuncture, it was really helpful. So I went to him and I gave some to him, and then just a couple other places, just plumb in this one particular yoga studio that I was using at the time. And it filled up really easily. I was really surprised. I thought I might get, you know, two or three. I was going to run it anyways because I needed it, and it filled up. And so, yeah, it was more just reaching out to the community and people that I knew were working with fertility clients, which was very new at the time.
Okay.
within 2 months of that, I had a friend who was a chiropractor, and he had this space right beside him that I had rented before, and I ran some classes out of there before, and he said that they were actually going to be getting rid of the space or doing something with the space. Would I be interested in opening a studio or using that space? And it all kind of fell into place. Like when you talk about like divinely placed events, everything was pointing me in this direction. I just followed my heart the whole way, and everything was falling into place. So within 2 months of that, I opened my studio. And for the last 6 years, I had been focusing on yoga for fertility and prenatal yoga, supporting women as they become pregnant through pregnancy as well, and then supporting them through postpartum health as well. So it was really beautiful to be able to support them in the yoga class to conceive, but also continue to support them through the pregnancy. A lot of women that come to me.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've never heard of that mix. I really like that, to have a studio that the whole studio is dedicated to the fertility process, sounds like.
Yes. So, right from conception, even the idea of conception, all the way to motherhood, and even through motherhood if they wanted to continue to feel that, need that support.
Okay.
So a lot of the women that come to me have had previous miscarriages, so there was a lot of nervousness or, you know, cautious optimism as well in the pregnancy early on. So to be able then to support them through a prenatal yoga and then continue to support them through their pregnancy was really important to them. They felt a real sense of community as they walked into the room in the fertility yoga class, so to be able to carry them and support them through their pregnancy was really, really, really crucial for a lot of them.
Okay, great. And I hear how heart-centered your studio is, or was, because I know that it's closed now. Maybe we could talk just a little bit about the practical side of running a studio. Was it what you expected? What did you love about running a studio? What was hard about running a studio?
The thing I loved the most about running my studio was it was my space, and all my stuff was there, and I didn't have to travel anywhere other than there. I didn't have to bring things with me. I made it my own space, and I was really able to create such an amazing space of healing, of tranquility and calm and peace and love and compassion and nourishment. It was just, the minute you walk in the door, people felt it. They would walk in, they're like, oh, I just don't want to leave. It's so amazing in here. And that I really appreciated. And, of course, you know, being able to program the classes the way I wanted to and have them on my schedule and really everything on my terms, to speak, that was really great because I'm a very strong leader and I was coordinating at another club before that, so it was very nice to be able to kind of create my space the way I wanted to. And the biggest challenge, I think, for me was the financial challenge. The nice thing is I had a lot of help in the beginning. My husband does tiling and painting, and I started the business with somebody else, and her husband was a contractor, so he did a lot of the work for us and helping us put everything together. Interestingly, 3 months after we opened up the space, she stepped out of the business, and for personal reasons, she was going on to have her children and to continue to raise her family. And it was a very challenging breakup, so to speak, but we're very dear friends today. So looking back, I don't know that I would have done it without her, so I'm really grateful for her influence and for her support at that time. So financially, it was a big commitment. And then, of course, you know, the worry of carrying the bills each month and the overhead and stuff like that was, you know, I always had that little financial gremlin in the back of my mind that I was trying to tame as much as I could. But overall, I wouldn't change it for the world. I'm so grateful for that time and that space that I created and the healing that occurred for me and for all the women and couples that walked through the door.
Mm-hmm. So I have a couple questions for you about this. One is that partnerships, and you mentioned you had a partner at the beginning, are a very interesting area, and I work with teachers who want to partner with another, you know, with a business partner, maybe in creating a studio or maybe in creating workshops. Do you have any advice on things to really think about in advance? What are the things to be aware of, to go in with eyes wide open, how to plan for challenges that may come up during the relationship of a business partnership?
I believe that strategic partnerships are really helpful for most people. And there's more and more businesses. You see larger business actually creating strategic partnerships now. You'll see them. That's kind of the way that people are moving toward the ideal business today. And I think there's a lot of benefits to that. Having the right strategic partnership is really key. So, you know, who you're working with, who you want to work with, what qualities you want to have in that other person, what do they bring to the table? Is it, you know, are they bringing something that you're not able to deliver so it'll add value for your clients and for your business? And, you know, how do you want to structure the partnership? Are they a full partner? Are they a partial partner? There's all these questions. My biggest advice for, and this is what I teach all of my clients, is really to lead with your heart and not your head. So logically, you can decide why you should have someone in as a partner, and or you might, you know, do a pros and cons list in your head and figure it out from there. And well, it makes sense, you know, and a reason why it would make sense. But really, your heart's going to lead you to the right partnerships and the right people at the right time. And that's really the only way I do business now, is following my heart, not my head.
That's good. And that also relates, I think, to fertility, staying connected.
Absolutely.
To that creative source. And so would you say that it's important to really let your heart, not your mind, guide you into the right partnerships, but then also just to be clear about the boundaries and to put let the head be second but still a part of it?
Yeah, I would say, you know, for me, I look at, you know, is there any resistance? And the resistance is kind of a warning signal for me. So my definition of resistance is the gap between what your head thinks and what your heart knows.
Okay.
I'll say that again. It's the gap between what your head thinks and what your heart knows. So if you're wanting to work with somebody and it's just not flowing, or something just doesn't quite feel right or doesn't land right or resonate, then there's resistance there. You need to explore that resistance, because there's a gap between what you're thinking and what your heart is leading you to. So when you can clear and become aware of that resistance, then you can make more heart-focused decisions. Of course, it comes into play. And it's like almost marrying the right and left side of your brain. That right side is your creative, you know, present moment side of your mind, and then the left side is the analytical, logical side of your mind. It's almost like marrying the two and closing the gap between your heart and your head, and then being able to make decisions from there. It's a real gift, and for me, that's really been the gift of yoga in my life, is being able to become present, fully present, and connect to that place within me that knows without thinking, and I trust it more than I ever have before.
Okay, thank you. I think that's clear. So what else should we talk about your studio? Do you want to talk about what led you, I'm guessing it was your heart and your head coming together, what led you to close it, and was it related to the financial burden, or was there something else?
There was a number of reasons for me closing the studio, the main reason being it was heart-led. It just felt like the right time. And over the years, you know, I had an admin assistant at one point, and then, you know, and then she wouldn't work out, or she had to leave, and then had somebody else. So I had someone kind of in the sidelines helping out. And I also had the idea that, okay, maybe I would add other instructors, and I tried different things, and the challenge with me is that when I had other instructors in there, it really shifted the energy of what I was wanting to create for the women and for the couples that I was working with around fertility. So to have another instructor in there, say, teaching kickboxing, or to have somebody come in and do something unrelated to fertility, I really felt the difference when I walked in the space. The energy had shifted. And so that was challenging for me, to have other people in the space. And so financially, it was me. I was carrying it. You know, if I wasn't teaching or if I wasn't there, then I wasn't making money. If I had to go away for a week or two and the studio was empty, then there was no money coming in to pay the
bills. So owed the rent.
Right. Yeah, so the rent and overhead as far as, you know, electrical phone and all those internet and all that kind of stuff. So it does add up. I had a fairly good rate in that area because I jumped into an old lease that I kind of took over a lease that was previous, like I mentioned, it was kind of a space that was somewhat functioning as a personal training studio, and we totally renovated and made it our yoga studio. However, you know, it's still overhead. So there was a period of time where I decided, it was last spring actually, before I decided to close the studio, I said, okay, I'm going to have someone come in and they can, you know, take the space on the days that I'm not there and they can run their programs and see how it goes and separate myself a little bit and just give them, you know, the ability to create and to program the space the way they want to. And we did that for about two and a half months. And the two of us both decided that it wasn't what she anticipated it was going to be. It was a lot more work than she thought it would be to get people in the door and to do the marketing and that sort of thing. And then for me, again, it was just having someone else in the space and other people in the space just changed the dynamics of the energy of the room and stuff. So there was that happening. And at the same time, I was getting a sense, I just had this real strong calling to speak. So when someone asked me, you know, what is your grandest dream, your greatest desire, the first words that popped into my mind were to speak to the world. So I really felt, I know it was kind of big, and I'm like, whoa, let's put that one aside. That feels a little heavy. I spoke to a lot of smaller audiences, but this was like large audiences, and I felt a real global pull. And I don't know how many women you have in that are going to be listening to this call, but I really feel there's a lot of women being called right now, especially last year and this year, to really step up to the plate and really listen to that voice within them that's calling them toward what they're meant to do in this world. Whether that's teaching yoga or whether that's opening a studio, whatever it is that you're meant to create, now really feels like the time to create it. And if you're thinking about it, if you have been thinking about it, the resistance is going to get stronger and stronger until you actually take action. So for me, speaking to the world on a global level and really bringing my message for clients of fertility, but also women that want to conceive a dream, write a book, create a business, you know, whatever it is they want to create, the creative energy is the same, whether you want to conceive a child or whether you want to create something in your life. So my message has kind of gone global and expanding that way. So my speaking career was really calling me. And to be able to leave and travel and speak and leave my studio empty felt heavy for me. It didn't feel good. It didn't feel good at all. So putting all those things together, I just decided that it was time to close the studio, and I contacted my landlord, and he let me out of the lease early. I had another 3 years on my lease. It was a 10-year lease total. And I felt really good about that. It just, again, it fell into play. And everything fell into place, and it was easy, and it was flowing, and it was very kind. It was a very kind wait at the studio. And I felt a lot of gratitude, no grief, no sadness, just warmth and gratitude.
It sounds like you brought a lot of consciousness to it in terms of just talking to, you know, asking to get out of your lease and that flowing into place, you know, really standing up for what you needed in order to follow this dream.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I'd love to hear you say just a little bit about speaking. What was some of the speaking that you did when you were a new teacher? Was it all on fertility? Were there other themes? And then what was the speaking you were being called to as you were taking this this message globally?
Well,
thinking about tips for other women who want to get started speaking with their unique message. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So with the speaking, I've done a lot of instructor training courses. I've been in the fitness and wellness industry for over 20 years. It's over 20 years. So for me, I would teach, you know, the pre and postnatal fitness certification was a live course before. The fertility yoga teacher training course, I created that in, I think it was 2008 or 2009, because there were so many people calling me from all different areas, women all over the world, looking for fertility yoga classes, and there were no classes. So I decided to, you know, create the program and then go and teach it live. So I would travel across Canada and teach that course as well. So that was most of my speaking. I did speak at different events for Canadian Infertility Awareness Week and just raising awareness about fertility and how fertility yoga can help women reduce stress and anxiety, how mind-body tools can actually improve their chances of conceiving. And I would do that locally and also at different IVF clinics to really educate the doctors and the nurses to help them recognize that there's a benefit to them referring their clients to me and that their outcomes with the treatments would probably be more favorable and or their experience would be more positive if they were having these tools on board before they started them. So those were my main areas that I was speaking on and educating, you know, doctors and nurses and as well as clients.
So,
and,
Sue,
yes.
I just want to pause you here. I hear that you are really good at getting speaking opportunities, and a lot of people who are just getting started might not know what the steps are to get a speaking engagement.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk about, you know, when you were started, when you didn't have a network? I mean, I hear that from the very beginning you started with your own practitioners, the acupuncturist. You know, how did you grow your network? What were the steps you took, and what were the steps you would take to get a place where you could speak?
Well, the growing my network was interesting when it came to fertility. Prior to that, I had a business card, but I didn't really have to have a website or anything. Like, prior to that, all of my clients came to me and all of the participants to my classes through word of mouth. Word of mouth is very powerful. And for those of you that are teaching, you probably experienced that. But even asking your current clients or participants, you know, do you know someone else that would be interested in this class, someone else that would love this type of approach to yoga or whatever it is that they're teaching? That's one way to do it, is asking your current clients, your current fans, those loyal people that are coming to you already, for rules. And just say, you know, I would invite you to share this with your friend or neighbor, anyone else you think is interested. So that's one thing that they can do. And
you would simply
for fertility,
say that, would you? Would you simply say that to them? Would you offer a free class? Or it was just, you know, I'd love for you to invite this, so you're planting the seed in their mind?
Well, see, women are such natural networkers. We genuinely share when something is benefiting us. But we don't always think that that person needs us to say that. So if you ask, they will do it more for you. So you don't have to offer a free class. You could do that. You could say, you know, next week is Bring a Friend Week, you know, and bring a friend for free. You could do that for sure. It's a great idea. Or you could just ask for referrals. And it's so interesting that, you know, as women, we don't to ask for help. But, you know, I would love to grow this class. I would love to double the people in this class. Do you know anybody in your life that you think would benefit from the class? And would you be willing to just mention it to them or give them this flyer or take, you know, so for fertility yoga, I really had to do that to create a network. I had to go out and find the practitioners that are specializing in fertility and get my foot in the door. And, you know, I would go to the IVF clinics and actually talk to the manager or one of the doctors and say, you know, I'd like to come in and speak to your staff. Do you do lunch and learns? Do you have events where I can come in and speak to the staff? Or one clinic, I actually invited all the nurses to come and come to their own fertility yoga class so they could experience what all of their clients would experience. And that was really powerful. So that's another way to reach out to different areas of, you know, if you're networking and you're saying, say you're working in women's health and your yoga is around women, you just really want to support women, then you could go to doctors that specialize or women's clinics or stuff like that and actually invite the staff in to come and try a class for free or try do an event for their staff. That was really powerful. So they got an experience of it, right? Not just, you know, when people have an experience of it, they're more likely to share it more often, but from such a genuine place. Oh, I went and I felt so good afterwards. You know, I really think that if you went, you would have a good experience, or this would be a good class for you, a good fit, whatever. So
that's great.
Yeah, those are some of the things. But building, for me, the network, you know, creating a network and a community for the women of fertility, it's such an isolating experience for women because they don't tell a lot of friends and family, and when they do, it doesn't, the responses aren't always supportive. They mean well, but it feels like a bit of a thorn sometimes when they get, you know, these comments that aren't so supportive. Then creating a community with them is really important. But I was really adamant about building a community within the fertility professionals. So I was really wanting to create that network as well. And that's something that, depending on what type of yoga you teach, you could really reach out and create a network of referrals from professionals in your area.
This is beautiful. And I just love your energy, your come from. And I just love the way you said, you know, to ask the students in your class and to say, you know, I'd love to double this class. I mean, how genuine. And then your students love you and they want to help you. That's beautiful.
Yes. Yeah.
That's great. So I also heard you say that, you know, you were starting to get requests from all over the world. How did it happen that you became known all over the world and you were getting these requests?
I'm exactly sure about that. I think I do have a really strong web presence. So I've had my website from the beginning. So familypassages.ca is my website, and there's a lot on fertility yoga, and I have my articles listed there, and I write articles for different magazines, one national magazine, Kin Magazine. So I've really put myself out there as an expert, and my intention when I first opened the studio and started teaching fertility yoga, I had so much benefit from it personally, but I saw, like, the relief on women's faces as they walk in the door and see that they're not alone. And I was so passionate about spreading this message that I think really energetically I put it out there that, you know, I would be kind of the go-to girl with fertility yoga. And that's really how my intention was at the beginning, and I think that's really what it's come to. So I've had calls from women all over the world. I think they're just searching on the internet for support, and they happen to find me, and I'm now able to direct them to different yoga classes and yoga for fertility classes in different areas of the world, which is comforting for me. And of course, my fertility yoga audio classes, I can direct them there as well, which is helpful. Before that, it was really challenging for me to say, I'm sorry, I don't know of anybody in your area, and there's not much I can do from here. So it's nice to be able to reach out and really give them some resources to move forward.
This is good. And let's transition to what you're doing now. I know that you closed the studio, so you'd be able to travel more. That's really great and clear. And so you're teaching both, you told me, the private one-on-one yoga therapy that's local, for primarily for fertility, but also you're doing mentoring on Skype for fertility yoga and fertility health coaching, and then you're also doing your online training. So which should we talk about first of those?
Well, you know, let's talk about online audio classes first, because I think that most of the people that will be listening, most of the teachers that will be listening, this is something they can do right away. And there's a couple different websites out there. I can't remember them right off the top. I want to say Yoga Online, but I can't remember the name of it, that actually host classes for you, so people could go to that website and actually download the MP3 of your class. So whether you go into your class and video or audio tape your class, you speaking and teaching a live class, that's one way to do it, and then you can offer it as a download for people, or people that have taken your class and offer that as a download, and or you could record the class sitting at your computer at home, which is what I tend to do because I don't want the background noise. I just want nice and quiet. I don't want people kind of coughing or shuffling around in the class. So I tend to do my classes in front of my computer with my eyes closed, and I'm really, the words just come through me as if I'm in a class, and I actually see participants in the class going in and out of the postures, and the dialogue to support comes along with that. So that's something that instructors can do right away.
You don't even have a live, even one live student when you're recording a live class. You're just visualizing one student or your students.
Yes, yes. That's what I do. And, of course, I've been teaching for over 10 years, so that's easy for me. But when I first started teaching, that would have been really challenging. So those that are teaching maybe and not feeling comfortable with that idea, you can record it in within the class setting as well.
Okay. That's wonderful. And so then you, I see that you have them on your website, and anybody listening to this interview can go and look at familypassages.ca. And so you sell audio MP3s, but then they're also available on another yoga website for sale, is what you're saying.
Yeah, well, I do have, I don't know if yoga chocolate, I think it's called. It's really bad. I can't remember it right now. They have some of my classes that are available for download, and it's by donation. So I don't know if they're going to continue the site, though. So last I heard, they were questioning whether they were going to close it down or not. So I haven't checked the last 6 months to a year. However, there's others. I think there's Yoga Online. I think there's another site where you can have your classes uploaded and available. But you could do it on your own. You could open up a PayPal account. It's free to open up a PayPal account. If you don't use it, you don't get charged. It's quite easy. And then, you know, have it available for purchase in a little add to cart, and someone will purchase it. And then you just send them the MP3 download, or you can use a program. I have a program where they have that they log in and they access the classes that way. But to simplify, you could either just send it to them or use a Dropbox or another program that can send them the MP3 file and simplify it that way if you wanted to. So for those of you that really feel like the need to kind of reach out and start doing that, or some of your participants already might be interested in doing it more than just once a week, but they're not able to come to a physical class with you, and giving them that option. You know, if you want to do your practice two or three times more this week, you know, I'm going to record this class, and if you want to purchase a download, then you can. So that's another option.
So let's talk about your mentoring clients. You do fertility mentoring, and do you want to talk about maybe what you do in those fertility mentoring sessions and how private clients find you? How do you invite people to become a client?
I like I said, I have a big web presence, so if you search fertility yoga, especially Fertility Yoga Canada, my name will be there. And if you even search yoga for fertility, just general, I think my name will be in the top 10. So really getting your name on those search engines, if you have a special niche, is a priority. Most people don't go past page 2 or 3 when they're searching. So if you do have a niche, then you want to position yourself on the higher, you know, first, second, third page if you can. And the way I did that was having articles on different websites and blog, you know, having my blog and having the, you know, really having your resources listed under other people's links and stuff like that. There's one website that I knew they were really high on the search engine for fertility, so I made a connection there, and I made sure I had some of my articles and things listed under theirs, and my search engine went up. I went up on a search engine just from doing that. So that's one way, is to increase your visibility on the internet search engines. And then, of course, through Facebook and with Twitter, I find a lot of people can stay anonymous compared to Facebook. They're a little less likely to come onto the page. They watch the page, but they don't always like it. You know, they'll watch it, not click on the like, so that people don't know they're connected to the fertility. However, if you're not in more of a, you know, sensitive area, as I am, Twitter and Facebook are great ways to share information about your classes and get people interested in what you're doing. Keep in mind with social media, you want to add value, 80% value, 20% promotion. So I do a fertility affirmation once a day. I do, you know, just general kind of what's going on in my mind and how I'm redefining my experience that day or my process, that sort of thing. So I share a lot that way, and then I promote very little. And really what you're doing is social network building, building relationships. I don't know if you've covered this in your class, but that's one thing that really stands out for me. And so once you get the clients coming to you, you can also have your newsletter. I create a newsletter, and I have a free meditation room. When you sign up for my newsletter, you get access to the meditation room, and there's 5 meditations you could download for free. So that's my way of building my newsletter database. That's one way. Another way to do it, kind of get people coming to you and aware of what you're doing. Was that all of your question?
It's pretty good. So just a little bit more specific about the mentoring. Do people contact you and say, will you mentor me, or is there a button on your website, or do you invite them? How does that work?
The mentoring right now is mostly through, I have a 12-week program that I do online, and the 12-week program involves like modules each week that they get. And each week it's about, you know, how to get – basically the premise, get out of your own way, how to face fear, overcome obstacles, and give birth to yours. And so there's 12 modules that they go through, and each module has a meditation that goes along with it that they can download. And then there's live Q&A calls as a group that I do, and I coach people on you know, helping their experience. So I had a client today, she was talking about – she's doing donor sperm, so she needed some support in that and how to deal with that. So in the live calls, they start to really connect with each other and support each other as well. Now, not all of my fertility clients are taking that course. A lot of women that are wanting to, you know, give birth to a new business or change the direction of their life, they might take that course as well. So my coaching and mentoring is really kind of open for a lot of people. And that's one way I do it. Some people prefer the one-on-one private, more private support, in which I really help them. It's more changing their thoughts and changing their mindset to more of a solution-oriented mindset. And for clients that are dealing with fertility and they've tried and tried and tried and their effort increases, their hope really fades, and they start looking at what's not working and they stop seeing what's actually working or what has changed in their body and what feels better. So I help them shift their perspective and see their fertility in a different light. And the coaching online or by phone or Skype is one way that I do that.
And what was it like for you when you grew into becoming a teacher trainer? Because I'm guessing you didn't start did you first have an idea? Were there any internal blocks? How did you know when you were ready to start offering training to other teachers?
Well, it started more with the fitness. I was teaching fitness classes, and I would actually go to a fitness workshop because as a fitness instructor, we needed certain continuing education. As with the yoga, you need a certain amount of hours of continuing education. And I was actually going to this one workshop, and afterwards the one woman said, "Oh, I'm not going to be teaching this anymore. You should really do it." And I'm like, "Really? Me? What do you mean?" And it just felt so right when she said it, but I just, you know, I was such a, believe it or not, I was such a quiet mouse that, you know, if I wasn't teaching, I wasn't really talking much. I was more shy than anything else. So I've come a long way. But with that, I suddenly realized, yeah, teaching is really the way I want to go. And what I realized, too, when I started moving into teaching instructors is that I could reach more women. I can reach a broader audience because then I could teach that instructor that skill, and they can then go on to teach all their students. So there was this big spider web that I saw that I was just really appreciating. Again, that global kind of calling was there early on. And I was really attracted to that, and it just felt right at the time to step into that.
That's beautiful. You know, is there anything that we've missed that you think would be really helpful to go over here?
Well, you did mention fertility yoga teacher training online, and you were kind of interested in how that worked as far as a teacher training course online.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so I could touch on that really quickly if that's
Sure, that's great.
Okay. When I first started teaching the fertility yoga teacher training course, it was the only course that I didn't put online. All of my other courses were online and available for people to go online and download and do the online quizzes and complete the program online. The fertility yoga teacher training I was very protective of because I didn't want any just taking it and putting on their resume. It's a very emotionally charged area for women, and I wanted the right people to come in at the right time to teach, and people that really had a heart calling like I did. So I taught the class live, and I traveled across Canada and taught different instructors across Canada and started to spread the work around. And one instructor called me from New York, and she had this real deep calling to teach fertility yoga. She goes, "I don't know what it is. I don't know why. I just really feel like this class is for me, and I really need to teach it. I'm not able to come to your live courses at this point. Can you do it online like your other classes?" And I said, "Well, you know, I don't know." But we had such a great connection, such a great conversation. I'm like, "You know what? I'll do it with you, and we'll see how it goes." So I did. She got all the materials online, sent them to her, and then I did phone coaching or Skype coaching with her just to help her set up her class and answer questions and go through the emotional aspect, because fertility yoga is not just about the physical posture. It's really about the emotional support that you provide. It ends up being a support group within the yoga class, so a yoga support group, really. And it just worked out so well with her, and I thought, okay, I can do this with other women, but I'm going to be very particular. So I had to set up, you know, some prerequisites. They needed to have a foundation of yoga training to begin with, because how do I teach yoga postures and you know, adjustments and things like that if I'm by Skype and not in person, right? I'm a hands-on kind of person. So they had to have a foundation of yoga training, and then this would be kind of a specialty that you add on to that. And then I would interview people, so they couldn't just sign up on my online. They actually had to phone me for an interview, and I had to just get a sense of, you know, whether it's a good fit for me and whether it's a good fit for them, and then I decided whether or not that they could go ahead or not. So that's how that's evolved. And, you know, it's interesting because there's a lot more stuff online. There's a lot more people open to learning online. And there's a real thirst for knowledge out there for instructors, but also for clients. And you can really tap into this market, whether you're doing teleseminars or webinars or sort of thing. There's really, I feel like it's really kind of the way that everybody's moving. Definitely, sincerely adore live events because they're so different than something you can do online. But there's definitely a need for the online convenience of learning. And I train, I had a client in Tokyo, an instructor in Tokyo and Costa Rica and all these other places. It just makes all the boundaries of geography invisible, and you can reach such a global audience that way.
Well, thank you for explaining all of this. And a little question. Do you do all of your fertility yoga now, and do you have videos of the classes online, or is it some pieces of it are in line and online and some pieces are in person?
For the instructor, for the
That's right, for the client. Instructor training. For the instructor training.
For the instructor training?
Is it all on video now, or
it's all audio. It's audio, and then there's a PowerPoint presentation that they watch, and it's audio driven, and there's some video clips inside of it because there's certain tools that I had to show by video, certain poses and different things that I show in video, and then the audio, they get the audio classes, so they actually experience the class as a participant as listening to the audio. And the difference between my style of yoga, the way I teach, most of the time my clients have their eyes closed. And a lot of my foundation of training is with Phoenix Rising. And for that, it's about going inward and using the metaphysical aspect of the posture. I want them looking inward, not outward. So I haven't done video at this time very much. And I'm wanting them to really put the earplugs in or put it on their computer and close their eyes and go into their body to see what's there and to face what's there so they can heal any blocks, release them, and then open up their mind, body, and spirit for conception.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you. Well, Sue, I think we've covered a lot of territory, and I so appreciate you being here. I just want to remind everyone, if you'd like to look at Sue's website, it's familypassages.ca. And thank you for sharing your beautiful presence and just your joy and enthusiasm for women's creativity. And I hear your message of women getting the call to speak and answering it.
Yes. Yes. We all need to answer the calling right now. We're so needed right now. Feminine energy is so needed. You need to bring back that balance. Yep.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you're doing it in a beautiful way. And thank you for being with us here today, Sue. Namaste.
Thank you. I appreciate you. Thank you. Namaste.